Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome back, everyone. We're going to now be talking with one of our favorite guests because he brings us such incredibly knowledgeable information, Larry Bell. Larry, how are you today?
Bill, I'm doing great. I hope you are also.
Thanks very much. It's great to talk with you again. And we've covered so many advanced topics, and we're really giving our listeners some great ideas to go to their advisors and to talk to you about. And today we're going to talk about something that's been out there for a long time, but it's very confusing. The rules have changed. So let's get into the world of deferred compensation, Larry. Tell us what your concept or idea is for us today.
Thank you, Bill. Deferred compensation is a planning tool that has been used for many, many years. And then about 8 years ago, the approach with deferred compensation, or an employer withheld money for selected employees, and then the employee would pay tax on it upon retirement or reaching some type of golden handcuff. This is different than a qualified plan, a defined contribution or defined benefit plan, because you can have selective participants. In a qualified plan, all of your employees have to be treated in parity.
So, Larry, let me interrupt you there for a second just to clarify. So for our listeners out there, if you're thinking about or have been looking at something you can do for just certain key employees, and the big concern has been, well, I don't want to put more money into a profit sharing or something like that because I have to do it for everybody. That's what Larry's talking about, is a selective benefit. You can just single out whatever key employees you want.
That's exactly right, Bill. And the issues that have occurred are that the monies set aside are not deductible at the employer level. That makes it unattractive for many owners of pass-through entities such as S-Corps or LLCs or LLPs, because they're paying tax on money and they don't get a deduction until farther down the road when the employee meets the terms of their employment contract and or retires.
Right.
So what we've done is there was regulations giving specific bright line tests for deferred compensation. The section of the Internal Revenue Code that was created about 8 years ago was section 409A. And 409A, in giving a bright line test, also gives a planning opportunity. If I was going to be negative, I'd say it's a loophole, but because we're using it successfully, it's a planning tool. That was supposed to be a joke.
Well, sorry, I got it. But in the past, I was just thinking about it. In the past, before 409A came along, Larry, there was really not much except some private letter rulings, and just it was just kind of, this is the way we've been doing it all these years. And this has happened with a few of these planning techniques in the last several years, where the government said, you know what, it just got abused to the point where now we have to really create, like you said, these bright line tests and create a whole section of the code around this thing. So it's very serious, and it affects a lot of different types of these non-qualified plans, including bonus structures and other compensation that a lot of people still, in my planning world, still aren't aware that they might be violating this section of the code.
Bill, your concerns and your points are valid. It's getting more and more these days, from a planning standpoint, that you don't use just an attorney or just an accountant. We really have to look at a multidisciplinary approach to do our planning. The opportunity occurred with 409A and with the mechanical tests that you can follow. There is a opportunity to take existing deferred compensation, in other words, where people have already started to build up money, not subject to income tax, or in starting a new deferred compensation arrangement and implementing a death benefit only plan, a DBO plan, that will determine actuarially the cost of the current death benefit that's provided by the employer, and then the employee picks up a small amount, about 10% of what that cost is. And so we have a life insurance policy on a selected employee. The employer is deducting upwards to 90% of the funding. The employee then is taxed on the 10 that's not deductible at the employer level. So they're paying 4, if you will. And that then goes on. There is an additional tax at the employee level, which is the economic benefit. The economic benefit is the little number that you see on the corner of a W-2 where you have a group term life coverage over $50,000. So that is going to be a small amount of tax annually paid by the employee. That can be offset by that 10% that they're taxed on already. There is a regulation that specifically gives that right to offset.
Okay, so what we've accomplished so far, it sounds like we've got a very inexpensive life insurance death benefit for the employee, and the employer got to write off roughly 90% of the premium for that. So
that's the first step. That's
a benefit, because the employee, let's say they have a family, they would have had to buy life insurance anyway. So we've saved them a lot of money on the death benefit. But what else does this plan do?
With the funding technique we've talked about, we have a co-ownership of the policy. And upon the employee meeting the terms of their employment contract or retiring, they then will retain the ownership of the policy. The table I costs, that economic benefit stops, and we then have a life insurance policy either owned outright by the employee, or if for planning purposes they had assigned it to an irrevocable life insurance trust, an ILIT, or an insurance limited partnership, an ILIP, it gives the opportunity under Section 72 of the Internal Revenue Service to be able, the owner of the policy can access cash in the policy, income tax free, and it is limited by the amount of money that can be taken out to the amount of loans permissible under the policy or a reduction of the death benefit. Now, okay, that's a conceptual discussion.
Oh, yeah.
I actually can give you some real numbers as to real situations and real results for participants in plans like this, if you think it would be of interest.
Yes, I do. But let me go back for a second on the second part. So you say there's a co-ownership of the policy initially, and you have the business is going to own the cash values of the policy, and the employee is just going to, at this point, own just the death benefit or portion of it, or at least a lion's share of the death benefit, right?
Actually, it's the flip of that. The employee, because they're deducting the cost of the current death benefit actuarially determined over the working life of the employee, they get that as a deduction. The employee is picking up the delta, the difference between that amount and the purchase price of the policy, and they then, under the co-ownership agreement, the individual owns the policy and cannot access cash in the policy as long as the employer is funding it. Once the employer stops funding it, either because under the terms of the contract it is no longer required to be funded, or because the employee has permissibly terminated employment, we then have a life insurance policy with no liens back to the employer, and the employee or former employee at that time can do whatever they want with it, i.e. they can access cash in the policy And if they do it under Section 72, it's income tax-free, or they can surrender the policy, paying tax on the difference of their basis in the property, that 10% that was not deducted each year, accumulate, offsetting the amount of cash that they receive. Or if there is a continuing estate planning need, then we keep the policy in effect, no economic benefit, no income taxation to the employee.
Okay, let's go into the numbers example. We have about 5 or 6 minutes left, so can we accomplish it in that time?
Yes.
Okay.
Keep it short. Where we have a 63-year-old that had been funding deferred comp for a number of years, and he has two more years to reach retirement, we have a cumulative amount of $441,000 that is put through this conversion technique. The policy then is owned by the employee. They paid tax at under a 3% rate of the total amount of money that was put in. That's the economic benefit. At the end of from 65 to 85, they can take out $654,000 income tax-free. That's a huge benefit for them, and if they do it in annual amounts, by the time they reach 85, there is still a face amount of $471,000 in the underlying policy, and they had taken out between age 65 and 85, $654,000. If we started a little bit earlier with a 54-year-old and they put in a smaller amount of money, approximately $437,000 over a 11-year period of time, that takes them to age 65, the taxes that they would be paying spread out over the 10 years is a total of $17,480. If then from age 65 to 85, they access the cash in the policy by way of loans and reduction of face, they will be able to take out $966,000 total. And this is where they had only put in $437,000 over the 11 years. This shows the beauty of compounding, and the overall tax rate through that process is under 2%. So this is a huge planning tool that is made available to us because of a planning opportunity in the 409A regulations relying on Treasury Reg 31.3121. I'd also like to point out, Bill, that this planning tool works not just with for-profit companies, not just with S-Corps, C-Corps, or LLCs, but it also is a huge benefit in dealing with non-profit organizations, because in order to do deferred comp with nonprofits, there has to be a risk of forfeiture. We can avoid the risk of forfeiture and the 457 limitations by using this tool, and hopefully you'll ask me back to discuss this particular planning for the nonprofits, because we have a lot in the area of executives in trade associations and nonprofits, or doctors and hospitals, that this can also be a tremendous planning tool.
Larry, you're definitely always welcome back. We don't always fully understand all that you're talking about because it's so complicated, but this is an opportunity for people who are wondering how they're going to unwind from a compensation plan that's been set up and funded over the years, and how they're going to unwind from that and minimize the taxes and the risks that go with that. So it's not for everybody to understand. It's really something that if you are in this situation as a business owner, forward this interview, forward it to your tax advisors, forward it to your planners, and get in touch with Larry to learn more about it. And then it may be the most valuable interview you ever listen to, even though you might not follow every step that we're talking about. So, Larry, how do people get in touch with you once again?
Bill, thank you. And we're always available to deal with the listeners, attorneys, and accountants, because we fully believe in the multidisciplinary approach. I can be reached by phone at 240-604-6945. And my email address is larrybell@theuniquesolution.com.
And of course, if you're listening to this on iTunes or another mobile platform, you can go back to our website at exitcoachradio.com. As a matter of fact, we have we're getting so much great content from Larry. We're setting up a special folder just for you, Larry, on our website, Larry Bell. You'll find it there, and you'll also find it under some of the topic specific like areas like deferred compensation, executive benefits. We're covering a lot of great ground. So thanks very much once again for joining us, Larry. We really appreciate it. Look forward to the next interview.
Bill, thank you. Happy 4th of July to you, your family, and all the listeners.
And goodbye. Paul. And don't forget Paul. And so,
yes. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Larry. Same to you. And we'll talk to you again soon. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with our All-Star Review. So please stay tuned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.